Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Jake Ross.
This is the last episode of the year.
Yes, and Matthew Knight.
I can't wait till season two.
Absolutely, exactly. This is the last episode of 2020, the Christmas special, and the last episode of 2020, of the regular episode, the regular podcast, that is, because, of course, dear listener, you have the Gear of the Year podcast series to look forward to in next week or something from when you're... Yeah, next week they'll be coming out, so look forward to those. You've got five whole episodes where we're going to be battling out to decide what is the best guitar, best effects pedal, best other thing, best amplifier, and best bass guitar thing of 2020. It's going to be absolutely wonderful. But yes, this week, this, the 295th and final episode in series one.
Season one.
of the Guitar Nerds podcast. Yeah, we tried to get us all together, but you know, Mark is hand gliding somewhere or something. Something really cool.
Yeah, nighttime hand gliding.
You say hand gliding.
Yes.
Ham gliding. Mark ham glide.
Like pack of ham?
Exactly. And we have to introduce our new patrons for this week. So.
You always make it sound like such a chore.
Oh,
Joe.
No, I am honest.
You're always like, oh, okay, hang on, everyone. I've got to stop what we're doing for a sec. Some people have given us money and I've got to read their name out. Oh.
Well, I am honored to welcome aboard the Guitar Nerds ship, Mohan Mudhar and Aaron Montiel. Hello.
Bang.
And welcome both.
Thanks. What a couple of legends.
Yes, absolutely. Legends indeed. Now I guess as this is the Christmas special, we were gonna talk about some gift recommendations, some things that we've seen that we think you, dear listener, might be interested in. We've also been trying out some stuff. Matt's got a couple of new things that we're gonna talk about. And then I have a surprise for the hosts, but We're going to kind of cover everything else first. So first of all, Matt, you've been messing around with a couple of pedals. A couple of the things we're considering on Gear of the Year have been sent your way. So you've had the Jackson Audio Asabi, which has been... Jackson Audio as a brand have been a big hit with us this year. The first year I've ever, come to...
Heard of them.
Well, the first year I've heard of them. I think that's... Well, it's because over here, I guess, they're obviously very well established in the US, but... this year, I think it's this year, they started being distributed by our good friend Bruce. So we were made aware through him, and he's been very lovely to get us a demo piece of the Asabi. But the Asabi, of course, we mentioned a few weeks ago, didn't we? Because it's got the wonderful feature of being able to actually become a completely different pedal via a chip change.
Indeed. Very skeptical, but actually bloody brilliant, I must say. I bought the Golden Boy earlier this year, which was the Joey Landreth sort of signature one, which is their transparent overdrive and boost. And I really liked it at first, but the more I spent with it, the more I'm just like, I'm not into the whole transparent drive thing. I think it's because my guitar playing is so bad. I need something with colour. Otherwise, you know, all the wrong notes just coming through too loud. Got to cover those bad notes. So when I sort of dived into this, I was like, sort of had that in the back of my mind. And then I plugged it in and went, this is amazing. It's just great. I put
on the regular, which is because it's a plexi style drive.
Yeah, so it's like a modded JCM 800 on one side, and then a dynamic overdrive on the other. You also sent me the Large Mouse, which is their first replaceable chipset for this. Super easy to do, and basically turns it into a wrap. You get all of the clipping options. And it's great. It is really, really, really good. Loads of gain, really dynamic with the guitar volume control, and just goes anywhere from kind of a nice sort of warm, sort of slightly driven sound to like just the heaviest of guitar fuzz. But like the kind of fuzz that I like, which is like super tight. Like a rat, basically. But what's interesting is obviously you can change the clipping diode, so you can change the way that it's, you know, how open or compressed it might sound. And then you've got the one feature which is great is the gain cycling. So you click both buttons in together and it cycles between 25, 50, 75 and 100% of where you have the gain control set.
Fantastic.
Which I think
is like
really
giving
cool.
Giving you a tiered sort of saturation to your drive without having to, you know, bend down and use the rotary control.
I think if anything, my only criticism is also its positive. It's the fact that it's just got too much going on it. For a drive pedal, you know, you kind of dial it. For me, I've realized that for drive pedals, I just like it to sound. I like to find the sound and then never change it. And then I'm just like, I keep finding so many good sounds in it. I'm like, I want to use this one. And you've obviously got MIDI and you can change it, but I'm just like, it would be good if it didn't have any of this and it was just like that one thing. But I've got to say, I'm absolutely mega, mega impressed. One of the best drive pedals I've tried in a very, very long time. Especially
if you
want that.
Prefer the JCM style or the Rat style?
No, the Rat for me was because I kind of, although it's a very, very different thing in some ways, I like the. Obviously, I miss having my 78 Big Muff on my pedal board, my op-amp Big Muff. It's just too big.
I was going to say, what happened to that?
It's on my shelf. I look at it every day and go, I love this pedal. but I like that. I like that wall of sound kind of, you know, fuzz type thing, and it really does that. I mean, the maximum gain is like. I wouldn't say too much gain, but it's a lot of gain. And then obviously you can put the overdrive goes in front of it. So then you can have another overdrive pedal going into it. And it's just like, yeah, it's just got a bit of everything going on. Super, super versatile. I think if you were running a kind of a mini pedal board with like three or four pedals, it would be great. Really, really flexible. As part of a bigger rig if you're using MIDI. I just thought, yeah. I'm keen to, one, keep it, and two, see what other modules they make. Because I'd love to see like a Big Muff style.
I would love that from Jackson Audio. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I like the fact that obviously the modules are analog. I can't see, you know, once they've got like 5 or 10 modules out there, I can't imagine many people have all 10 and they'll be like, I'm going to swap it out for this gig and I'm swap it out for that gig. I think you just have one and you'll like it and then you'll leave it. I mean, as we said before, we've been down the module route with gear and quite often it.
And that's why you're skeptical of it.
And that's why I was a bit skeptical about it. But I think once I've, you know, the module that's in there, I'm like, it's great. I think, you know, for messing around, you know, oh, there's a new one. I'm going to try it. Don't like it. Don't worry about it. They only cost 50 quid.
I just think it keeps cost down. Well, that's the thing. It keeps cost down. If they'd released the, what is it called? The small or the big mouse?
Large mouse.
The large mouse. Right? If they'd released this as a standalone pedal, we'd be saying it's a great pedal if it had been released alongside the other one. But of course, you'd be looking at another 200 quid and upwards of 200 quid to purchase it. Now, it's 50 quid or whatever to grab that. I mean, assuming you've already laid down the 200 and whatever pounds for the
for the chassis.
Asabi.
Got a bit of a it's got a bit of the Pokemon to it, doesn't it? Like the kind of the gamification of pedals, like just like hanging out with your mates at lunchtime and being like, I'll trade you. Let's plug our Game Boy Link cables in and swap and trade. Yeah. or like, you know, Premier League 96 or whatever, you know, there's it's cool though. It's interesting. It's definitely interesting.
It is interesting. I think they're a great brand. And the one thing I really like, which is just an aesthetic thing, is that it's a really dark black that's like a matte finish, like slightly rough. And it's almost like Vanta Black. Obviously, it's not Vanta Black, but it's very black. It's like the blackest of black, which I really
black
like.
Black 3.0.
Oh, man. Someone needs to do a pedal in black 3.0. Vanta Black. Absorbs 99.98% of all light. I saw a video of a guy who got the world's most powerful torch, 100,000 lumens, and shone it against a panel of Vanta Black. It's just like, how is this a real thing? How does it absorb that? And you can also get the pinkest pink, so I'd like to see someone do something with the pinkest pink.
Yeah, well, the pinkest pink was something a bit different, though, and I only know this from QI, so, you know, I could be wrong, but it's something to do, and I can't remember the people that were involved.
Where the story is, for anyone out there thinking about painting a guitar in Vanta Black, is it was trademarked, basically an artist called Anish Kapoor bought the rights to the blackest black.
Anish Kapoor is the only person who can
paint that.
Anything with Vanta Black.
Yes. Yeah. So someone else went, well, that's ridiculous. So
the pinkest pink is open source. Not open source, like anyone could buy it. But when you buy the pinkest pink, you have to sign something that says, I am not related to, I'm not friends with, and I will not allow this to get into the hands of Anish Kapoor. Basically to like just say like, okay, well, you've got this, you've got the blackest black. Well, I'm not going to let you have the pinkest pink. But apparently Anish Kapoor then did get a hold of something. Probably on the Vanta Black market, you know.
Yeah. it's a very, very good looking little unit, and it's actually got a little startup feature. When you turn it on, it cycles through all the colors like really slowly, which I thought was very, very cool.
Ooh, that is very cool.
I'm impressed.
The second pedal you got is from a company that we've had a couple of bits from in the past, and if anything we don't talk about enough because they are fantastic and have been making pedals in the sort of modern hyper modern look that I think Strymon have cultivated, and Jackson Audio follow suit with that as well, and I think Chase Bliss and people like that as well. But these guys were doing it long before. Why don't you tell us about that pedal?
Yes, actually, I was trying to look to see if this one was actually on the list for Gear of the Year, but I think it might have come out last year.
It was the previous year, yes. It was actually, it was an option for last year. And I don't know if it got through.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think Jay poo-pooed it.
No. I genuinely don't know what you're talking about. I don't know if I missed this in the preamble, but I don't know what pedal you're talking about.
Oh, well, let's talk about the Free the Tone Future Factory.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
The RF phase modulation delay. As they say, new world of fluctuation created by dual delay. And I like their motto. The motto for the development of the Free the Tone Future Factory was creation of new sound. Good motto.
I mean,
motto.
Yeah, fair enough.
Great motto. So for anyone who doesn't know, Free the Tone, Japanese brand, have been around for a very long time, actually, and have been designing stuff for various people. And you may know some of the drives they've done, but more probably you know their previous delay unit that looked somewhat like the panel of the DeLorean from Back to the Future. So the Future Factory is a slightly different delay unit to that, and basically is a dual delay system that uses a very unique phase modulation delay. And it kind of gives the sort of vibe of one of those expensive, like, digital delay racks from the 80s and 90s, the ones we all love. And I plugged it in, just running it in mono and played for about 45 minutes and was like, I should probably do some work, really.
You know when you found something good when you just get lost and you sort of find yourself at the other end of an hour.
It was really good. I was like, oh, man, like, there's a couple of really nice features. Obviously, the modulation's nice. I mean, not the greatest interface to try and dial in. It's just lots of buttons and lights. But the one thing that's really good is it's got soft clipping on the input. So you can sort of drive the signal a little bit. It just gives a little bit of a grittier edge to the repeat.
It had that with its chorus as well. You could kind of drive the tone of the chorus, which I love when you can do that with modulation pedals. You could do that on the MD200.
Yes. I think it's nice to be able to adjust the input level. One, also for different guitars, but just to kind of, you know, just give a bit of oomph to the delay signal. But yeah, what was funny was I plugged it in and I just, whatever it was set to before, probably one of Jay's presets.
Exactly.
Bloody fantastic.
Well, you know, I don't know what to tell you.
And then I started changing it. It was like, oh no, how do I get back to the one I had before? It's a really, really good delay pedal and something just a little bit different.
I mean, the thing is, Matty, is really funny because I think what this pedal does is it really highlights the difference between you, a genius, and me, an idiot. Because, like, there was too much going on with it. And, like, you're right, I found out a few sounds where I was like, yeah, this sounds great, I'm going to use this. But I didn't like find myself lost in it at any point. And I think that's literally just down to the fact that, like, I'm an idiot. Like, I'm an idiot. I just need it to be able to be like, yeah, cool, four or five knobs, bang, lovely, there we go.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that sort of drive for simplicity, though. I remember when I was trying this pedal and it was very good, extremely good, but I was trying it alongside things like the Nordstrand range of pedals, the Rocket Surgeon. And they'd done the Ice Caves.
Yeah.
Which was like a reverb delay with whatever, like four or five rotary controls on it. And it didn't really matter where you put them. It was always going to be this massive.
It always sounded like it always sounded like you were in an ice cave.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's really well named, that pedal. Yeah, yeah.
but you know, when you're comparing that along with this, which can do all of that stuff, but you have to set it up to do that stuff. You know, this pedal can also not sound like that at all and be very sort of subtle and almost average because of the amount of rotaries that it has.
Yeah, what's interesting is I've got two delay pedals on my board and sometimes I go, is this a bit too simple? But every time I plug them in, I'm like, these sound so good. So I've got a DD2, which is an Analog Man modded DD2. So it's got like a high pass filter. Low pass filter cuts out the high end, so low pass filter. So it doesn't go to infinite. The DD3 doesn't do like it doesn't infinite repeat, but because the repeats never degrade because they're exactly the same repeat rather than an analog delay. So this towels a little bit of that off, and it's just good to sit in the mix. But it's got ever so slight, just a nice sort of kind of old digital shine to it, I guess. And then I've got an old 90s Deluxe Memory Man. Every time I plug it in, I'm like, this pedal's always on the edge of just being too flaky. And then I plug it, and then I turn it on, I'm just like, there's just a pillow of like soft repeats that just sit underneath the mix that other delay pedal can sit. Yes, it's exactly what it is. It's exactly, and no other analog delay pedal has come close to that design, and it is just perfection. So every time I think about changing it, I'm like, can't get close. The problem is it's absolutely massive and I have to have a separate mixer to use it because I can't step on the foot switch because one, it might break, and two, it clips too easily, so you've got to be able to like run it in parallel with something else. But it's
that sounds like a nightmare.
It is, but then you hear it. And, you know, once this is all blown over and we can all see each other and I bring my pedal board down to Brighton and plug it in, you'll be like, yeah, you were right. It is the bloody best. So that was the future, Free the Tone Future Factory. And Joe, actually, one other thing which we didn't make a note of, I also got the Magma 57.
Of course, yeah.
From Origin Effects, which I'd already bought the Revival Trem. And I've got to say, I've got a few arguments, I think, for Gear of the Year, because I'm going to have to pick one of them. And both are really, really, really good. I think it just depends what you want. One just sounds like a really cool one. That
it depends.
Got...
What do you prefer, Fender or Magnetone? Like that's what this is coming down to.
I mean,
to,
that is basically
what those.
Yeah, and not many people have obviously know the sound of Magnetone as much. I mean, I've never tried a vintage one, let alone one from 1957. But the circuit, the vibrato circuit, is much more like a Univibe, so it's got more of this kind of like thick, chewy phaser type thing going on. But there seems to be less gain in that pedal compared to the Fender one, which has got more of that sort of cranked brown panel type thing. Very, very difficult. But I think I prefer the Trem. But
it's just a more familiar sound. So I think I agree that, it's just a more familiar sound, the sort of the drive and the Trem than the drive and the vibrato.
Yeah, and actually the vibrato, like I said, sounds quite like a Univibe, and the Grouter vibe that I got earlier in the year is just amazing. Well, I've realised that...
No, sorry, go on, sorry. I felt like the vibrato and drive was something that I can replicate to a level that I am equally satisfied with other equipment. Mm. Whereas the Revival Trem, I thought, was a perfect unit, like just the best sounding version of that I have ever heard.
Of thing. Just like a cranked Fender, basically. In a box. I just think it's great. And yeah, I can replicate that sort of vibe sound with the vibe that I've got and stuff. And, so spend a bit more time with it. But definitely, going high for the Asabi and high for the Revival Trem so
it's
far.
It's going to be an exciting Gear of the Year, that's for sure.
Indeed.
Now, I did want to talk about, Christmas gift recommendations, things that we can suggest to our listeners to pick up. And something that kind of fell into my laps just as I was kind of thinking about that was that I'd started talking to, I was introduced very, very kindly by Al Lawson, a friend of the podcast, introduced me to the team.
Enemy of the podcast.
he introduced me to the team who put together both the Stompbox book and the Vintage and Rarities book. Both those books are available in something called The Brick, which is both of those books. It's something that I think, Matt, you've been thinking about purchasing.
I have.
For some time.
Absolutely.
Which one were you thinking about getting, Stompbox or Vintage and Rarities?
Joe. Think about the question that you just asked.
Well, Stompbox, so for the listener, if you're not aware, the book Stompbox, it's just absolutely incredibly beautiful photography, and the story behind 100 pedals of the world's greatest guitarists. So it's kind of it's a photographic showcase of the pedals.
Of Matt's pedals.
Pedals owned by like Jimi Hendrix, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Frank Zappa, etc. All the names that you can expect. And then, like a little story behind them. So that's a wonderful book in itself. But for me, I was like, Vintage and Rarities was just a little bit broader. So I love the idea of that, is because in Vintage and Rarities, you get 333 cool, crazy and hard to find guitar pedals, because they're not always owned by famous people. They're just incredible examples of amazing gear. And so in this, you also, it will include people like Josh Scott, for example, from JHS, has offered up some options in that book. So it's a bit more community driven rather than celebrity driven like Stompbox. But nonetheless, both books are absolutely fantastic and well worth checking out. Dear listener, if you haven't heard of them yet or haven't checked them out, then stompboxbook.com is where to go. And actually, thanks to us being introduced to the Stompbox team, we're going to be doing a little dealio with them. So the first five customers who purchase those, either of the books or the brick, which is both of them, the first five customers who purchase those books using the code GuitarNerds will get 10% off the price. And that only lasts for a week from the point of the release of this podcast. So we're launching this code in line with the release of the main podcast, so Wednesday. So it will run from Wednesday until December the 14th. So if you're listening to it as a Patreon, just wait for tomorrow and then purchase.
It's, I mean, you know, thankfully we've been lucky enough to have a bit of a sample. And page one, famous pedal number one, Interfax Harmonic Percolator HP1, Steve Albini, with a picture of his actual unit and then a nice little story about it. Number two, One Alderette, Electro Harmonic Sovtek Big Muff Pie. You know, so, you know, two pages in, you're like, got to read the rest. But it's you know, it's not even, I mean, just scanning through here, John Dyer Basley and Gina Gleason, Strymon Timeline. You know, it's quite cool, you know, and the fuzz pedal that they make. So, you know, there's, I think.
Oh, yeah, because they only sell like a couple of per show, don't they?
The Philly Fuzz.
It's the Philly Fuzz. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Heretic, is that the brand?
I think I follow them on Instagram because Philadelphia.
But yeah, so there's a bit more modern stuff on there. Like Jennifer Batten's got, you know, her blue guitar on there. But it's just a great coffee table book. So I'm keen to have a sort of a bit more of a flick through of these. I mean, the vintage one, obviously, everyone loves a good vintage pedal. And actually, another book worth checking out in the future, if it's still in production, is Analog Man wrote a really interesting book on vintage pedals as well.
That was quite a while ago, though, wasn't it?
It was quite a while ago. That was my nan bought me that book probably about 15 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay. Right.
And I'm you might still be able to buy it from his website. But yeah, both. Just, I mean, who doesn't like looking at pictures of guitar pedals?
Well, exactly.
I mean, I don't know how many people have coffee tables anymore with books on them, but
I've got a coffee table.
You know, just get that and a copy of The Rock's autobiography. Actually, I'm reading a different autobiography at the moment. Starting it
Mankind.
Today. Mankind. No, I have read that one. And that's also a very good one. I'm reading I Believe in Music, the autobiography of or Mr. Kakahashi, the autobiography, the founder of Roland. For those who don't know, had a crazy, crazy life to start with. He basically got like a really rare disease when he was like 5 or 6 and was in hospital for like the first 10 years of his life.
Oh, wow.
And there was another person with a similar disease and there was an experimental drug and he got selected and it cured him. And he then went on to, while he was ill, like studied electronics and then went to build a TV. So he built a TV, which had obviously valves in at that point, but you couldn't buy valves in a shop. So he had to buy them on like the Japanese like black market and made a TV. And that's how he learned like about electronics.
Wow.
And and then obviously went on to form Ace Tone and then on to form Roland, but made the first ever programmable drum machine.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, it's, yeah, I'm really looking forward
what
to
was
diving
that, then?
In. That was the CR78, I think. No, there was an Ace Tone model before that, which was a programmable drum machine. But you've got to think, the drum sounds are not samples. It's all like, it's a synthesizer. All the sounds are transistors and resistors and synthesized sounds to make it sound like drums.
That's incredible.
It's just like, yeah, it's amazing. So I'm looking forward to diving into that and understanding a little bit more about where I am today in this company, I guess, and how it formed. Unfortunately, never got to meet him, but I think it'd be a nice little book to dive into.
Yeah, very cool. I mean, and you know, another good suggestion with kind of Christmas gifts in mind, very timely, James from James's Home of Tone announced this week that he's getting Marcus Deluxe pedal boards on board.
Nice.
In his shop, which is incredibly cool. Marcus Deluxe makes wonderful reclaimed wood pedal boards, and they're gorgeously presented. They're from all kind of like offcuts that he's able to procure. And he keeps the prices so incredibly affordable when you think about how much people tend to, you know, put on the price of something when it comes to a boutique product. He's managed to keep everything incredibly affordable in his range. Now, he doesn't do cases for them. They are just the boards, but they look absolutely wonderful. And until now, he's just sold them through his Instagram, and he's just made them to order. Which I think is still generally the case, but he's made a standardized range in a lovely sort of grade, thick grain wood, and he's offered up four different size options for James's Home of Tone. One of which we have me and Matt own as a board for display, which is the very unique Vert Deluxe, which is the upright pedal board, which has a little shelf, a little lip on the bottom of it. It does come with pre-fitted Velcro on the board, but it has a little shelf on the bottom of it so you can sit even pedals without Velcro. So that's fantastic for displaying them. But also if you're the sort of person like using a pedal maybe, you know, in on your desktop, whilst you're recording, or maybe you're using it with something that's not a guitar, like a keyboard or something like that. It's very, very useful in that sense. But he also does the Vertis Deluxe Limo, which is a much longer version. Then there's a two-rail Classic, which is a nice, small, simple pedal board. And then the four-rail Classic, which is your regular larger size. But here's the thing, even the larger size is £75. That two-rail one, which is like a pedal train nano, is £45. You know, the upright pedal board is £35. The little sort of two or three pedal version. I just think they're absolutely gorgeous.
I think the upright one's a great little gift actually for guitar players. You know, for a desk at work or at home. I like changing the pedals I've got on them sort of every other day or so I can look at a different guitar pedal. You know, when I'm stressed out at work and I'm just like, oh, what am I looking at? Today I'm looking at a Pink Sparkle DD3.
Oh, today's going really slowly. That's all right, I'll just turn the speed up on this delay pedal.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if I'm feeling angry, maybe it's a fuzz pedal. You know, we'll see. But yeah, I'd actually say it's a great, great little gift.
Yeah, they are completely wicked. Now, I really want to move on to the surprise in this podcast, but and I know we've got other things to talk about, but maybe we'll talk about those in the Patreon episode. Before that, are there any other gifts anyone wants to suggest? Any other things?
I mean, I was thinking about the thing that I've probably had the most use of this year. Well, I did until Marky P. Can I just borrow that for a week? 6 months ago. The Isotope Spire. I think it's just such a great unit and something that people should check out. I mean, it's about £300 or something, so maybe not a ideal Christmas gift for, you know, if you're looking for... I've had so much trouble for Christmas. Like, my mum is desperate to be... She's like, oh, you've got to tell me what you want for Christmas. I'm like, I don't really need anything. Like, I think what I'm getting from my mum is loads of just, like, running gear, because that's the only thing that I could think that she would be able to get for me. It's very nice. I'm very lucky, but so this really isn't the sort of thing that you can probably ask your mum for, but maybe it's something that you could get for yourself after Christmas. And the Spire Isotope, I just think it's a great interface. It runs on batteries. You don't need to plug anything into it. It is like a standalone unit that you can do multi-track recording on. The app is really good. I've had loads of fun with it. I think it's a really, really good unit, especially for if you are, like me, an idiot who has no idea how to do any kind of recording. Even I was able to put together a little demo, and I really enjoyed it.
I think you're absolutely right. It's an incredible piece of equipment.
It's really good. Yeah, it's really, really cool. And that's probably the piece of gear that had the most use of in terms of, like, you know, the situation that we've been in this year.
The built-in effects on the Spire for me are what really make it. because I love that you, obviously we've spoken about this a lot before, but I love the sound check feature when you go to start recording and it asks you to play a little bit of what you're going to play and it recognizes what you're playing in. So if I'm singing and playing guitar, it recognizes vocals and acoustic guitar, and then it sets all its
levels
for
yeah
exactly. And some of the reverbs on there are just so lovely, I find, especially for acoustic and singing. If you then just add like the global reverb to that track, it's just, it's pure Neil Young. Like, it's just a really, really strong demoing tool. And to be honest, you could quite easily write something perfectly professional on with using only
Oh, you've heard my demos, have you?
Just perfect and professional.
Just perfect professional music that I will never let anybody listen to.
So, Jay, you picked a sensible gift while I went down the instant, what are the weirdest gifts?
Of course.
And I picked the JTYX guitar headstock mobile phone clamp.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
What, so for the shred shot?
No.
For the down the fretboard shredding.
Like, it's like a curly, extendable lead with a clamp. Perfect for any places. Perfect for movies, enjoying movies, in the bedroom, kitchen, gym or office.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's like a phone clamp that they're advertising for a guitar, but then I'm like, don't forget, you could use it in the gym.
Attach it to your dumbbells? Attach it to your dumbbells or something.
Yeah, watch a movie. But actually, and I put the link in our podcast notes, and maybe we should put this in the group, but Amazon have a gifts for guitarists. And such things as novelty mug that says, in my head, I'm playing guitar while I'm not listening to you. And,
I like that the top option is there a plectrum that says, I couldn't pick a better stepdad.
Oh, no, that mug. Oh, God. So earlier today, Joe sent a message to us being like, oh, Jay, you're going to hate this. So you were out. I hope you don't mind me giving people a peek behind the curtain. But Joe had to take the cat to the vets today. And the sign for the vets is my worst nightmare when signs are made up of like four or five different typefaces. Just choose one and just run with it, you imbeciles. And that's what this mug is. This mug has got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different fonts on it. Oh, God, I can't stand it. I cannot stand it.
You might be into the guitar capo for acoustic electric guitar shark capo, which is shaped like a shark.
Oh, I mean, that does sound cool, in fairness.
I personally liked the beach towel that was shaped like a really bad Fender guitar. and also the... Actually, I would say top pick for T-shirts is Relax, the bass player is here, with a picture of a bass on it. also here, a gothic guitar skull with guitar headstock poking through it.
Relax, the bass player is here. That's horrendous.
apologies to anyone listening to this who's actually... just bought that T-shirt.
There's a T-shirt. Yeah, well, there's a T-shirt that has four strings and it just says EADG beneath them. I mean, as if standard tuning was cool enough to put on a T-shirt, honestly.
Standard tuning is very cool. That's why it's
But yeah, actually, one crazy gift I have seen, which I thought actually for someone who needs a bit more space, these aren't new. They've been around for a while. The wardrobe guitar hangers, I actually think, are a genius.
You just have to screw them into your headstock, right? You just screw a hole through your headstock.
No. You take out one of the strip, whatever machine head you're not using, whichever string you use the least. You take out the machine head and then you hang it from the hole left by the gap there. Lovely.
But what? There's one poster here that says, "I might look like I'm listening to you, funny music guitarist." It doesn't make any sense.
I want it. I'm getting that. Oh, that's what I want. Matt, buy that for me.
This is clearly some sort of really bad translation. For anyone who is a musician, a guitarist, or studies musician as a guitarist, doesn't make any sense. Oh, wonderful. Dear. Great gifts. All of them.
Great gifts. All of them. Yeah, absolutely.
KMA Audio Machine's comprehensive range of premium effects pedals are extremely impressive. Coupling some of the best-looking graphics and best-sounding circuits with some of the most original reimaginations of classic effects pedals that we've ever seen. From the wild and soaring high-gain distortion of the Worm to the classic ripping fuzz tones of the Fuzzly Bear, Minos and Dead Stag, the swirling phaser of the Astro Spurt, the treble to full-range Stockher treble booster, the synth the octaves of the Moyai Mayer and the Queequeg, to the incomparably expansive wash of delays and verbs from the Cirrus and the uniquely controlled mid-accentuated drive of the incredibly dynamic Logan. The list is comprehensive, and every pedal offers something original and unique to KMA's penchant for extreme controllability. Available worldwide from leading guitar effects pedal dealers, and for more info, check out kma-machines.com. This episode of Guitar Nerds is brought to you by Shergold Guitars and their latest electric guitar, the Provocateur. Celebrated by Total Guitar Magazine as one of the most refined single cuts on the market, with endlessly satisfying playability and a flawless set of tones, the Shergold Provocateur combines remarkable specification with a retro vibe for a unique and bona fide rock guitar. From the brand that once powered the likes of Joy Division and is now championed by modern guitar pioneers and So I Watch You From Afar and many others, comes a fresh and exciting range of electric guitars. Designed by legendary British guitar luthier Patrick James Eggle and featuring a roasted mahogany neck and a solid mahogany body loaded with USA-made Seymour Duncan pickups, it's easy to see why Guitarist Magazine officially voted the Provocateur one of the best electrics of 2019. You can find your nearest Shergold dealer at shergoldguitars.com. And if you're not in the UK, don't fear. Many UK-based Shergold dealers have super awesome international shipping options to guarantee your Shergold will make it to you in the most far-flung of places. Proudly stand out from the crowd and discover yours today at shergoldguitars.com. Shergold Guitars. Be your own original.
Joe, yes. The anticipation is killing me.
For people listening,
Joe just like every week he sends through the podcast notes, which generally we ignore because they're just a load of rubbish. It's like, oh, look at this. Oh, check out this. No, let's talk about football and Twin Peaks. But this week, just out of nowhere, there's a thing on there that says, I have a surprise, and we have no idea what it is.
I know. I mean, to be honest, the surprise didn't count on us going 40 minutes into the podcast before I got there, but that is where we are, so that's what I have to deal with. So I think we're going to have to split this across now and the Patreon episode, because, boys, I've made a mini quiz.
He's made a quiz?
That's right. I've got a Matt versus Jay. Dear listener, prepare for a Matt versus Jay mini quiz. The last quiz, the last thing in the regular episodes of the Guitar Nerds podcasts. We have got four rounds. We've got three questions each in each of those rounds, so we might actually be able to fly through this. The rounds that we're going to be covering are topical general knowledge, know your Joe, feeling affected, and signature model trivia.
Oh, okay.
So be prepared. There's going to be a point system like before. So round one is simply a point for a correct answer. In every round, it will pass over to the other person if you can't answer the question. In round two, it's 2 points for a correct answer, but only 1 point if you steal the answer. As in if the first person can't answer. In round three, it's 2 points for a correct, 2 points for a steal, but minus 1 point for a wrong answer. And in the final round, round four, 2 points for a correct answer. Turn it on its head. 3 points for a steal, which gives you but minus one for a wrong answer. So you really want to guess, even at the risk of minus 1 point, because if the next person gets it, they're getting 1 point more. So there we go. So let's kick things off. Let's go straight into things. Okay.
I like things.
I haven't thought about who's going to start.
Was this quiz originally made for three people and then one person didn't show up? So you're having to restructure it on the fly. Is that what's happened here, Joe?
That is literally what it was. Yeah. Right, okay. Yeah. Mark didn't let me know until I got back from like, my doctor's appointment earlier and I was like, right, I need to rewrite all of this quickly. Okay. Okay. All right. So who won last time? Because they can go first.
I think you did. Yeah, Matty. Yeah. I don't know how. I mean, even a broken clock's right twice a day. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Here we go. Matt Knight then. Matt Knight with question one, round one. This round is called Topical General Knowledge. Oh, wow. Matt, you have done well.
Who is the leader of the
Cuban leader? Is it Fray Bentos?
Okay. This is very, very easy. For you, Matt Knight.
Classic.
Yes. Okay. First question. I just clicked off. Here we are. Okay. Yes. First round, quite easy. What colors is the Harmony Juno available in? I need all three.
Oh, all three?
Yeah.
Oh,
That's tough.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Oh, and the names. There's Red.
Yes. Can you name the red? So that's the one we've got.
Rose red?
That's correct. That's one. Next. Oh, you've got two more.
White.
Yes, that's correct. Third one.
Matt, not looking to pile the pressure on or anything, but I know the name of the third
color. Honey something?
That's incorrect, and it moves across to Jay Cross. All you've got to do, Jay, really, because he's given you the first two, you just need to name that last one.
Well, it's Champagne, ain't it?
It is Champagne. That
bloody
is
Champagne,
correct.
Mate.
Oh,
Jay
God.
Cross.
Glass of Champagne with your lasagne.
Absolute Champagne, mate.
Jay Cross there moves in the lead with 1 point. Jay Cross, question for you coming along. What two Origin effects pedals have been released in 2020?
The Magna Tone thing. I don't know what they're called. I know that there's the Magna Drive Trem.
No, that's not correct.
The magnet man.
And I'm moving across to you that night.
Magnets, how do they work?
Can you name them?
The Revival Trem, which yes. I'm looking at both. So
I know, that's why it's bang out of order.
And then the Magna 57.
That is correct. Okay, so we're back on a level playing field.
That's what I said, the Magna Geezer.
Okay, and Matt, question comes around to you. What do the faders control on the Automatone preamp?
He's looking at that as well.
No. I have that in front of me. In front of me. In fact, Jay, you had this most recently.
I'm going to say drive. level, mid, Q, treble.
That's incorrect. J. Oh. Cross, it's coming to you.
How many are there?
I'm not going to tell you that because I didn't tell Matt.
Tell him, and then he can, if he needs to guess one more, he can. Is it okay? Volume and gain are definitely two. Q is definitely one. And then it's middle, treble, and bass, isn't it?
That's correct.
You are.
I missed
right.
out the bass. I named you five. Did. Not.
I thought it was weird that you went middle and treble and then just stopped.
There we go.
For some reason, I didn't think there was, because I think it's the.
I mean, bass is the worst of the frequency groups. I do appreciate that.
Because I think the reverb only has bass and treble, so I knew it was. I thought it might be missing one. I was wrong.
You were. Jay Cross, coming around to you, what are the three modulation types on the Old Blood Noise Endeavor's Visitor?
Oh, crap. I've got that downstairs. It's tremolo, chorus, and phaser.
That is correct. Storming ahead, Jay Cross. 3 points. Matt Knight, coming over to you. Name the two Echoline drive pedals.
The Everest and the Roadrunner.
That is correct. Up to 2 points. Jay Cross, cement your lead with this, the last question of the round. What type of effect is the KMA worm?
Balls. I wish I paid attention to the rubbish you talked about when... it's a drive.
That is incorrect. Coming over to you, Matt Knight.
Oh, I mean, metal distortion?
That is correct. Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Come on.
No, because distortion and drive are different.
No, they're not. Well, no, they're not.
That round, gentlemen, finishes in a tie with 3 points each. So essentially, you all answered all of your questions, just some of each other's. So well done, well done. Finishing round one with a tie of 3 points each. We move into round two. 2 points per question, 1 point for a steal on this round. No negative points for getting anything wrong yet. Round two, know your Joe. These are going to be questions about me. What do you know about me? Matt Knight, starting with you. What year is my vintage Fender Precision Bass?
69?
That is correct. Matt storms ahead. 5 points now. You don't get 5 points. I think two for that. So 5 points in total. Well done. Well done. Jay Cross, moving on to you. What is my live amplifier setup for bass? I'm going to need the cab and the head.
You've got the cab and the head. That's why you use them live. You use the... the Ashdown 300 watt fella, CTM 300.
Yes,
is that right?
That is the right head.
Yeah,
as accidental as that was. And what is the cabinet?
It wasn't accidental. I knew exactly what it was. The cab is a use different cabs depending on the situation. You know, you judge the room. So, you know, that you turn up with an array of Ashdown cabs and you look at the venue, you look at the room and you go, oh, today I need this, I need 2 1x15s. Or sometimes you'll be like, wow, okay, this is very big. I need an 8x10. That's what you do, isn't it?
I'm going to have to make you commit to one answer.
In an ideal situation, you use two 1x15s.
That's correct. Well done, Jay Cross. There you go.
I'm just trying to have a little bit of fun with everyone, you know?
That's also the correct combination for any bass player.
2 1x15s. Absolutely is. Matt, coming round to you. What do I use to capture a perfect bass tone for home recording?
Isotope Spire.
I don't know. What do I use to capture a perfect bass tone recording. Did I say that? Yeah. Oh, yes.
He's given his answer.
What do I capture a perfect bass tone on for home recording? What do I use to capture a perfect bass tone for home recording? There we are.
I don't know if you're being sneaky by saying
no.
Capture.
I'm saying. What do I record bass on at home? It's obviously not a 300 watt valve rig.
I'm gonna say Boss GT1000 Core.
That is correct. Yes, yeah, that is exactly
what I pay
what
you for. That's what I pay you for.
I mean, it's genuinely the best sounding thing for bass at home. So,
that's
you
what
know.
I pay you
I'd
for.
I'd rather use a plugin so that I could edit stuff
no,
after
you don't.
When you mess up.
You can just edit the tone after, because so often with bass, you're going to be editing the tone around the overall recording. But I can't find anything that sounds as good as a GT1000 Core.
Joe Branton, you know, you can. If you use it as a USB interface, you can reamp with the GT1000, so you can record it all in and then play with the settings in real time.
That's wonderful news. That's really good news. I'm really excited about that.
You can send the audio back through the GT1000.
Yeah, that's the.
There you go. I've just made your life 1%
that's
better.
That's really good. That's really good. Okay. Who's it coming around? Okay, coming around to Jay Cross here. Jay Cross, what two custom shop brands do I currently have bases on order with?
I know one.
Both of whom I've done Friday specials with this year.
Yeah. I know one of them. And I'm just trying to think of the other one, and I'm not sure that I want to say, because Matty can steal.
I ain't no thief.
Well, if you don't, that is a thing. I mean, it is 1 point for a steal in this, so almost, if you can't think of the second...
It's almost better not to say anything at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Crumbs. Oh my gosh, I'm really struggling to think of the other one. No, I'm just going to take a stab at it. Fidelity and Dunnable.
Is incorrect.
Ah, well, it was worth a shot.
It's worth a shot. Worth a shot indeed.
I don't know the other one. I know Fidelity. I'm trying to think who else we've spoken to. I'm going to say I don't know.
Okay. Well,
I don't listen to you enough, Joe. Sorry.
That's fine. That's not a problem. You are both right with Fidelity. The other one is Moore, Danish guitar custom shop. The ones who make the really slim-lined 335 style guitars.
Of course.
I've commissioned a Wenge. You know, sort of hollow body, super slim 335 style bass with three B90, P90 style pickups in them and Fender Bass 6 switching. Yeah, it's going to be great. Short scale. Oh, I'm so excited. Okay. Anyway, no one got that one. And we're coming around to Matt Knight. What DAW do I swear by for
Presonus
recording?
One.
And sorry?
Presonus 1. Is that it? Is that the one? Joe, I don't listen to you. If it's not about guitar pedals, and that's the only one I can think of. Studio One.
Studio One, that is correct. Yes, Studio One. You almost didn't get it. But yes, Persona Studio One is the correct answer. Moving you up to 9 points.
Oh, it is Personas.
It is. Right, it, Persona totally Studio One. And dear listener, I do thoroughly recommend it. You can get, there is a free version, which is absolutely incredible. Obviously, I'm a sucker for a good plugin. You don't get plugins until the professional version, which is about £350. Now, you can purchase their mid-level version for about £80 and buy an add-on to use plugins, which is about another £80. So you save sort of half price. You don't get the mastering suite and things like that. But they've recently introduced Sphere, which is a version where you pay £10 a month and you get every single thing they ever release when they release it constantly, plus the professional version. So an incredibly good deal, and something that I've signed up to as well, just to have all of those incredible features.
I'd just like to interrupt for a sec for any listeners who think that Joe is just a he's signed loads of people up for adverts and this is him like trying to surreptitiously get as many paid sponsorships in as possible.
I've never even spoken to Persona Studio One.
He does this to us all the time. Like when we're texting or whatever, he's like, "Oh guys, I've just signed up for this thing. Oh, it's fantastic. You do this and then you get this and then you get that." He just loves stuff. All he does is tells people about stuff. He's a human advert. You'll be getting like brands tattooed on you before it's not too long. Just for kicks.
I might start selling ad space on my body.
Yeah, like you're a Formula One driver or something.
Yeah, like the million pixels, but on me. Yeah.
Joe, I was going to say, you're definitely not going to get $1 million for that.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, fine. Last question, and it goes to Jay Cross in round two. What pickups are currently in my Fender 60s reissue lack of finish jazz bass?
Oh, I don't know.
Really? You had an opinion on it.
Did I?
Mm.
What do you mean I had an opinion on it? Like a good or bad opinion, you mean?
Well, an opinion. It's a hint. I can't give you any more than that.
Oh, okay.
Very recent.
Oh, you've got EMGs in there.
I do. I have.
Of course you do. Whatever it is that Guy Pratt uses.
Yes, exactly. A vintage set of EMGs.
A vintage set from 2004.
They're from the early 90s. But yeah, they're, vintage for EMG, I'm sure. Anyway, that was a fantastic round. Jay Cross, you're trailing by 2 points. Matt, you're leading 9-7. And we move into round three. We've got just time for round three, I reckon, and then we'll have to finish round four over on the Patreon.
I reckon. Let's just do it. Marky P's the one who's always like, we can't go over an hour. People will stop listening.
Okay, we're going to power through. We're going to do round
three. Unless this is like the Lawrence of Arabia quiz or whatever. It just like goes on for an hour.
No, it's fine. Okay, we're moving into round three. Question one of 100. Round three. No, round three is called Feeling Affected. In round three, you're getting 2 points for a correct answer, 2 points for a steal, but now for the first time, -1 point for a wrong answer.
So, okay. Hang on a sec, say that again.
So, same points if for whatever you do, whether you get the question right for yourself or whether you steal it, it's 2 points. Okay?
Yeah.
In the previous round, it was less for a steal, but now it is equal money for a steal. But if you get a question wrong, if you commit to answering it rather than passing it,
you get 2 points for a correct answer, but you could potentially get -4 points, like relative in goal difference terms. It could be a difference of -4.
Is that right?
-3. No, because you lose if you get the question wrong. And when I get the question wrong and then Matty answers it correctly, that's a 3 point swing.
Exactly. Gotcha. So you've got to think about whether or not you want to, it really adds some spice to whether or not you want to attempt it or pass it in this round.
Interesting. Well, as you know, Joe, politics has never really been my forte. So let's go.
Okay, here we go. Round three, Feeling Affected. Question one, Matt Knight. How many compressors are in the Ashdown Pro FX range?
Joe, you're literally the only person who knows that. You're the only person in the country who knows the answer.
I almost feel bad about adding this question, but I have mentioned it on the podcast.
I don't listen to you. I really don't want to take a stab at it and then lose some points, so I am going to pass.
Jay Cross, you can also pass, even though...
Do I lose a point if I get it wrong?
Yes.
You still lose a point, but you can pass if you don't want to answer.
Okay, three.
That's completely correct.
Yes!
Jay Cross. Jay Cross takes the lead for the first time.
He who dares, Rodgers. He who dares.
That's right. The ProFX range consists of the Guy Pratt signature Macchiato compressor, the Velvet compressor, which is based on the ABM compressor on the Ashdown head, and the Studio compressor, which is a more traditional sort of mellow compressor. Well done, Jay Cross, of course, aware, as you were, of all three of those options.
Joe, I wasn't even listening to that description, so I'm still none the wiser.
I think one compressor was more compressed than the other.
You said Guy Pratt, you said Macchiato, and I have no idea what the third one was.
The Guy Pratt is the Macchiato.
Oh, okay, yeah. So I know one of the three compressors then.
Exactly. Okay, question two. Is Jay Cross, can you cement this lead now? What was the name of the Copper Sounds newest pedal release? Of Copper Sounds newest pedal release. That was a bad sentence.
No, I don't know. I couldn't even take a stab in the dark because I don't know.
Okay, no worries. That is coming across to you, Matt Knight. We will be talking about it. What is the name of Copper Sounds newest pedal? Their 2020 release, which we will be talking about in the Gear of the Year series.
I think I'm going to guess here. I think it's called the Triple Shot. I might have just made that up.
You were so close, but you're wrong, so you lose a point. I'm so sorry, but you were close. It's the Triple Graph, because it's based on their Telegraph pedal, which had a Telegraph stutter switch. It was a kill switch with a Telegraph stutter, but it was the unit was so weak that they recommended you use it with your hand. They've reintroduced it as kind of based on that original design, but with proper foot switches. However, they are, you know, shaped like an old Morse code Telegraph thing. Triple switches, including octaving and fuzz, and it's a signature pedal that they've made alongside Jack White.
I knew all of that. I just forgot what it was called.
Yeah, very cool indeed. Very cool pedal. I'm looking forward to talking about that one. So, yes, the Triple Graph. Unfortunately wrong. Matt Knight, you can still get this back. All you've got to do is... that is a...
Answer this question.
Yeah, you've got to answer this question. Okay, Matt, you are much better suited to Jay than answering this question. Name the four non-time-based effects in the Corey Wong Neural DSP plugin kit. I don't need the names of the effects. I need the types, the effect types. We spoke about this recently.
We did. And Joe... I'm going to go for it. So you want the non-time-based effects.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an envelope filter, a compressor, a distortion, and an overdrive.
That is correct. Matt Knight, absolutely.
How about that? He's done it.
Wow. Very, very well done. So that's...
I closed my eyes and thought about it really hard.
You've brought it up to a tie. You're both on 10 points each now. Well done. Well done. Jay Cross coming across to you. what does the second foot switch on the Eventide Black Hole do?
I can hear Matt Googling it right now.
Oh, no, sorry, that's me. That's me. I'm double checking. I didn't write the answer down on my sheet.
I could be completely wrong here, but I assume it sends it in. I don't really know how to explain it because I don't know what it does, but I assume I'm going to lose a point here, but whatever. It's all a bit of fun and games, isn't it? I assume what it does is it kind of makes the pedal go like, what's the word? Like feeds back into itself. No, that's not the word. What's the, regenerates or.
I will accept
goes,
that.
Goes
I will
bigger. It that. Makes it go bigger.
I will accept that. It's the freeze. It's the freeze function, but regenerates.
Yes, yeah, okay, fine. Yeah,
regenerates is correct enough for me. So
okay, good.
12
Thank
points,
you.
Jay Cross. Well done. that's true. The Eventide Black Hole, the eagerly anticipated sort of H9 and software based reverb now available in a standalone pedal without a screen. So, you know, a sort of functional pedal board pedal does have a second control for its infinite reverb, which is very cool indeed. Okay, moving on. Matt Knight, last question of the round for you. What was the big change for HX Stomp in the Helix 3.0 update?
8 effects blocks from 6.
That is correct. Matt Knight brings it up to a tie. Well done. J Cross, you have every option to go ahead of him here. With the last question in this round, what are the diode options? What are the diode options on the Automatone Preamp Mark II?
A second Automatone question. Yes. I can tell that you were. I can tell that you were running out of inspiration for this quiz and just frantically looking around at the things near you.
Absolutely.
What colour is my coffee mug? Oh no, I can't ask that.
Even though this isn't the last round, I wrote this round last, and I was really like, oh, I just got back from my flu jab. It was like an hour and a half round trip. I was like, I need 3 more questions. I've got this Automatone next to me, but yeah, that's.
I don't know. I don't know. Pass.
Okay, so he passes. Matt Knight.
If I could take a stab at it, I would, but I can't, so I'm not going to.
Okay, Matt Knight, can you do it?
I think it is symmetrical, asymmetrical, and off.
That's incorrect, and I thought this one was easy actually, because it's their diodes, so it's silicon or germanium or off.
Of course.
Like, so I would have accepted silicon or germanium. But unfortunately, clipping. Matt, you took a stab. So
no,
actually,
you know what, Matty? As soon as you started saying as symmetrical and asymmetrical, I was like, of course it is. Of course it is. What a complete idiot. What complete idiot I am for not even thinking about that. And then as soon as Joe said germanium and silicon, I was like, oh, we're both idiots. Okay, that's fine.
So,
gentlemen,
I just froze foolish. In the heat of battle. That's what that was.
So, gentlemen, it is 12 points to Jay, 11 points to Matt. We're about to enter round 4, signature model trivia. The question is, do you want to conduct round 4 here? Or in the Patreon?
No, let's do it here.
Let's go.
Okay, we're 100% ready. In that case,
let's commit.
Welcome to round 4, signature model trivia. 2 points for a correct answer, 3 points for a steal, and -1 point for a wrong answer. So you've really got to think about your answers in this round. Okay. This round,
I haven't thought about any of my answers.
Signature.
And I will continue to answer my questions in that manner.
Signature model trivia. Here we are. Questions all about signature models. Matt Knight, you start us off. What was the model number of Billy Joe Armstrong's only hollow body Gibson signature model?
Oh. One. Three. 5.
Oh, that's incorrect. You lose a point. I'm so sorry. And it goes over to J Cross.
137.
137 is correct. And as it's a steal, J Cross, you move up to 15 points. That's very, very good. It is an ES-137.
Oh, it's only two.
Red and black, isn't it?
It's such a great guitar. Such great. It's, in my opinion, my favourite of his signature models. But yes, the weirdest one for Billy Joe Armstrong to go for, certainly. Definitely the least sought after as well.
That's because they were really expensive.
Yeah, true.
Really, really expensive.
Question 2, J Cross. What name did Hendrix give to his black Gibson Flying V that he played at his iconic Isle of Wight performance, currently reissued by Gibson Custom Shop and limited to 125 pieces?
I don't know. I couldn't even take a stab in the dark.
Moving across to Matt Knight.
I didn't even know this was the thing.
You didn't know this was a thing?
Guitar Nerds.
Sorry. Jimi Hendrix Flying V that he played at the Isle of Wight. The Flying V that's currently like
overrated,
the
mate.
Main guitar in like that.
He's no Paul
whatever
McCartney.
That American Hollywood guitar shop thing.
I'd much rather listen to that Frog song by Paul McCartney.
Crazy Frog.
Okay. Yeah, I'd rather listen to Crazy Frog, which is what Mark Packham would probably say.
By Paul McCartney.
Fine. Okay, fine. It's a pass. In that case, I will tell you, it is called The Flying Angel, as Jimi Hendrix called it.
Gibson. That sounds like something made out of the ESP factory, the Jimi Hendrix Fallen Angel.
Yeah, 125 pieces, only sort of $9,000 each. I think a really worthwhile purchase. Okay, no points scored on that question. Question three, coming back round to you, Matt Knight. What two words are painted on the front of Fender's Tom Morello Stratocaster?
Soul Power.
That is correct, Matt Knight. 2 points won by you, bringing it up to 15-12.
In fairness, not painted.
What is it, scratched in?
Sticker. No, they're stickers. And when you get the guitar, it's blank and you can choose whether you
That's interesting.
Choose whether you want to put the sticker on or not.
That's very cool.
Joe Branton, you lose a point there, I'm afraid.
I'll minus myself a point there. Absolutely. Okay, Matt Knight coming round.
Jay Cross. A bit of classic Joe Branton sabotage going on there.
Okay, next question here for Mark Packham. Mark. Jay, what finish is the Fender Her Strat? I'm never sure if is it H-E-R? Are we supposed to say H-E-R for that? I'm not sure what the artist
don't,
is called.
I think it's Her. It's chrome, like pearl chrome, I think it's
called. That is correct. The official colour is chrome glow, but I didn't expect either of you to know that. So chrome, I will accept 2 points.
Imagine headstock. Looks mad.
Absolutely.
The guitar's wicked, but yeah, it looks mad.
Very good.
I bet it looks incredible on a stage with like loads of lights flaring at it.
Yeah, I watched a video of it the other day of her performing with it, and I think it looks wicked. One of the best Fenders I've seen in a long time.
It's really cool. It's very, very cool.
Yeah, it's definitely great. Now, a similarly good question for Matt Knight, I guess, here. I didn't know which order this was going to come out in. So, Matt Knight, what bridge pickup is in the Fender Ed O'Brien?
Really,
Matt? You thought about buying one of these?
I know. Texas... No. Oh, I hadn't finished. Seymour Duncan, JB Junior.
I mean, I don't think it's Junior. It's the JB Mini Humbucker, but I will accept that. Yes, that
yeah,
is.
I think that's close enough. I think it's fine.
Texas
close
Special's enough. In the middle.
Texas Special is in the middle. Yeah, shall I give you an extra 2 points for that?
No.
Yeah.
Give me an extra 2 points for that.
I mean, he can't catch you. Okay, here we go.
Last
question here for you, Jay Cross. Last question in the last quiz of 2020 in the last episode of the regular edition.
Oh my gosh.
Gunner's podcast.
And it is, Joe, right now, the time is 8:20. It's 2020 right now.
Oh,
I looked at the clock as you said.
It actually is 2020. It actually is 2020.
And the year is 2020 as well.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my
this
goodness me.
Okay. And I'm asking a question about my all-time favorite musician in the entire world. Here we go. Neil Young's famous old black Les Paul was originally what finish?
How far ahead of Matty am I?
The score is currently 17-14.
Pass.
And I wish I could answer it, but...
You could tie, Matt. You can tie if you can answer this. It's worth taking a stab at.
It is.
Because if you're right, 3 points for a steal, which will put you on 17, and you'll tie it. If you get this wrong, you'll just lose by 1 point more. I'm thoroughly recommending taking a go at what original colour Neil Young's famous old black Les Paul was.
I'm going to say gold top.
It was a 1953 gold top. It's a tie.
2020, baby. How about that?
You're absolutely right. Yes, his 1953 gold top, which is the guitar he's played since something like 1965 or 67. Unbelievable the amount of work, the amount of gigs that that guitar's done. It got lost for a while when he sent it to a guitar shop for repair and the guitar shop went under. He lost it for like a year.
Oh, no.
It just got sold on. He's got like a, it has a Firebird humbucker in the bridge, which is actually the only pickup he uses in the guitar. It's got like a brassed chrome scratch plate. It also has a huge plate in the back of the guitar that holds the two halves of the guitar together. Like a metal plate that's just in there gripping the guitar into one piece. It's an incredible piece of equipment. I don't know if Gibson have ever done like a, you know, a custom shop of it. Did either of you ever come across one?
I can think of.
Absolutely.
I don't think you'd ever probably allow it for some reason. I feel like he might be against that. He said recently, didn't he? He was talking about... He made some massive rant about Apple, didn't he, recently? And about recording with Mac.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was about now.
I love Neil Young, but I do almost exclusively listen to his first sort of three or four records. Anything from the late 60s to the early 70s. With most of those old artists, I tend to avoid anything they do in the 80s and 90s because you know it will be bad. But recently I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy a couple of Neil Young records that are new. Because I've accidentally, you know, heard a couple of his 80s records where he made songs about, like, the internet and stuff, and that it was bad. You know, real bad. Really bad stuff. But, you know, I bought a couple of his new records and it essentially sounds like he's gone back to recording like he did in the 70s. Like, all the basses sounded like they were recorded straight into the desk. Like, they were so clippy.
What is the thing that he had built that he still uses for his Champ that is basically, it's a massive mechanical arm that goes to the volume control and it's just like four preset volumes. I want to say it's called like the Gizmotron or something. It's not that, because that's something else. But yeah, it's basically an expression pedal and then four buttons that go onto the top of an old Fender amp. And then when he hits a button, it mechanically like turns the amp up.
Yeah,
and he's a big fan of old gear. His drive sound.
He's a huge fan of old gear. His whole thing is like, if once you've got that sound, don't try and recreate it with other stuff. That's the sound. Just make sure your gear stays together. Of course, you know, he's been doing it for 60 years and he has techs that can do it. He's a big magnetone user, in fact.
He is. Because he also, and we did talk about this on the podcast a very long time ago, he uses an incredibly old and incredibly rare magnetone that has 10 speakers and two horns.
Yeah, the first time I saw it, I thought I was looking at something photoshopped because it's so big.
What is it called? It's something ridiculous, and I think they only made like one or two.
His tech definitely has the hardest job in the world, I think, you know, maintaining all his equipment.
He's super, super picky. He basically uses a 1959 Tweed Deluxe, which is used since the 60s, with two volume controls and a shared tone control. And then there's, this thing that sits on top of it. And he had to change the stock valves to 6L6s because he kept blowing it up, apparently. He was running it on max volume. But yeah, we should definitely... Dive into that rig. Yeah, I've just found it. 8 horns, 4 10-inch speakers, 4 15-inch speakers, and 2 15-inch passive radiators.
Got to stay warm.
Yeah, that's the Magnetone 280 stereo vibrato combo amp. The thing is 6 foot tall.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So there you go.
Well, maybe we'll talk a bit more about his gear along with some more Christmas suggestions, along with, you know, anything else that we want to discuss over on the Patreon episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast, which will be the last Patreon episode of 2020, as I have mentioned. Thank you very much, dear listener, for joining us on this journey throughout 2020. I hope you're okay. I hope you got through this year all right, because, you know, it wasn't great for anyone. 2021 is going to bring on a whole load of cool, new, awesome stuff, and hopefully it will start with a slew of new, exciting equipment from all our favourite brands. You can, of course, join us on Patreon for as little as a dollar a month. A dollar a month will get you this episode ad-free and early. You know, I admit, next year now. at the $5 tier, you get access to our entire back catalogue of Patreon specials and all our mini-series. And at the $10 tier, you'll have your name sung in a song. This week, Christmas-themed. I had to come up with a whole Christmas song. So enjoy that. It took me ages. But yes, follow us on all the social medias with @GuitarNerds. Join us on the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/GuitarNerdsForum. Take advantage of that book deal if you're interested in the Stompbox book or the Vintage and Rarities book. Use code GuitarNerds. Only the first 5 people who use it will get to get that 10% discount, so take advantage of that. And we will be back next week with the Gear of the Year podcast series, and back next year with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Cheers, gang.
Thanks very much.
Accept no less. You all enjoy the podcast banter. Be good, get guitars from Santa, 'cause you're all my Patreon backers. Party hats and the Christmas crackers. Fill your ears, Jay, Matt, Mark and me. Telecasters, burn out your tree. Holly, tinsel and the mistletoe. Sit back, relax and get a kiss from Joe. Hear your names read out by me, of course. I'm your own boss, I'm old Santa Claus.
Kristen Abbott, Ty Allen, Yogi, the guitarist, Carl Harris, Cloud, Lifter, Todd Simons, Rich Quesco, Joe Hoppard, Sean Hughes, Michael Howe, Brian Hansen, Shane Ham, Jeffrey Wax, Eric Emmer, Samuel Frost, Brian Einzer, Gavin van der Linden, Jacob McGee, Andy Manley, Scott Hattain, Robert Butterwell, Simon Milbourne, Marcus Au, Katowacki, Stuart Robson, Neil Milton, Ryan McDermott, Christian Lund Hansen, Keith Adams, Michael McFay, Eric Farl, Andrew Good, Joe Paddock, Marin Peters, Richard Sudworth, Jack Cavmore, Ken Sayers, Adrian Day, Abe Matthews, Kyotopia, the band, Sean Arbo, John Anglin, Rob Gould, Tucker Ramadan, Ernie Cooper, Ross Edwards, Nate Nagel, Stephen Bork, Aaron Sherman, Dave Lee, Jake Gray, Scott Kennedy, Blake White, Christopher Losef, Hans Amst, Derek Rich, Rob Nordvik, Steve Merkel, JD Short, Brad Page, Andy McKenzie, Robin Smith, Scott O'Brien, Paul Corrigan, and of course Luke Rabbit.
Oh, Merry Christmas to one and all. May you have a merry, merry time filled with guitars and Christmasing. Drink a ginsky for me. Ho, ho, ho! See you next year, dear listener. Farewell!
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.